Hey, movie lovers, welcome back for another Anatomy and Movie here at Popcorn Talk. Today we're doing something a little bit different. We're not doing our normal dissection, but we are covering Crazy Rich Asians, and we have a wonderful interview with Selena Tan. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Anatomy of a Movie.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Joining me today, I have Marissa Serafini, my co-host, as always.
Yes, hello, everyone.
And without further ado, the guest of our show, welcome Selena to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And if people want to follow you, it's Big Dim Sum Dolly.
That's right.
There you go. So that's how you can interact. And of course, we're covering Crazy Rich Asians, the movie that just came out. I've had the pleasure of seeing it twice. You've had the pleasure of seeing it twice.
Yes. And ironically, you've seen it. I've had the pleasure of seeing it twice.
How serendipitous.
Yes, we're all on par here.
Yes.
Indeed. To begin with, before we started the show, you talked about seeing it for the first time with the cast. This is sort of a private screening, as this normally happens. And I want to get your sort of perspective, your reaction to seeing the final product, and then we'll sort of work backwards in the making of.
Sure. It was really an exciting time because, we've been hearing so much from all the people in L.A. that are cast in America and elsewhere in the world about, different people seeing it at different times and what was being shown. And actually, there was some talk about, there's different scenes online already anyway. And then Warner Brothers managed to get the Singapore cast and the Malaysian cast as well together in Singapore for a private screening about a month back or so. And the first time we all watched it together, and it was just us, like maybe 12 of us in a cinema. And it was just all this hooting and screaming every time somebody came on and like, oh, we remember this scene. And, it was really a nice time for us to get together and watch it. It was quite magical, actually, because, when you're shooting a movie, you're doing your part. You're not sure how that's going. You don't really see it in conjunction with something else that's happening, how the storytelling's going. And it was just all fun and, really the humor and the laughter that was happening on set. But when we finally saw the movie, there was the emotional arc and the sort of backstory and the side stories. Everything sort of came together and you could finally see John Chu's amazing mind or work, his directorial work. Doing its thing. So it was really moving for us as well.
So this is a rather basic question, but if there's anyone on the fence about seeing this movie, what would you say to them to convince them to go?
I mean, really, apart from the fact that, it's a big Asian representation movie here and around the world, the movie for me is really... I laughed, I cried. It was really an emotional sort of roller coaster for me. At the same time, it had a nice modern feel to it. I didn't feel like I was watching just, old rom-com kind of thing. It felt fresh. And that's what I loved about it. So, yeah, it's something I could watch and rewatch. I think we were saying, the second time I watched it, I found myself, even more drawn into the movie. And, so... I would say it's definitely a go watch.
Absolutely. And now that I feel this is one of the biggest, most recent openings for the representation of the Asian culture. And you mentioned that you saw a screening like a month ago, but this movie has, done great promotions for it, like months beforehand, and making sure that people have the opportunity to go see it, such as this thing now called #GoldOpen, where people are, investors are selling out an entire theater just so people can see it. What are your thoughts of the opportunity for the Asian culture and just people in general to go see this film?
I mean, you're right. I think the buzz has been wonderful. And, I had the privilege of going to three of these buyout theater screenings before the opening here with Janice Koh and Harry Shum and Jimmy Oh and Henry Golding as well, and we did a surprise sort of thing at the cinema, and it was amazing, the response, because we were standing outside just listening to the response when the show ended, and everybody just applauded, and there was hoots and screams and stuff like that, and then we appeared and you could really see genuinely people really taking to the movie. So I think it's doing something great for Asian representation, because here, as I've told this story before, but I've got nieces from around the world who have written to me months beforehand now after they've heard that I had a small part in this movie, that writing to me saying, oh, you know, I can't believe you're in this movie. You know, she's like 17, 18 years old. And she says, you know, I live in a place where I never thought I would see, you know, Asians on the big screen. And she's always wanted to be an actor, but, you know, she never thought it possible. And she's saying, oh, now, you know, I think I'm going to give it a go. Or, you know, I feel inspired by this. So I think generally around the world, Asians are feeling like, oh, you know, let's support this. Let's buy up the theater. Let's invite our friends over, you know, and let's enjoy it. I'm on my way back to, I'll be back in Singapore in about a couple of days. I've got 4 or 5 private cinema screenings that I'm supposed to go attend. So people are really on board here.
Oh, that's great.
And what would you define, like, for this movie to be successful from your perspective? What are the things that it would need to do? Whether it's just a financial standpoint or a cultural standpoint, what are those things?
Well, clearly, I mean, right on top is box office, right? I think with a strong box office showing, it informs producers, directors, writers, screenwriters, as well as the audience, reviewers, so, you know, what people will embrace in future. But apart from that, of course, you know, it's just, I think the movie does well in showing that an all-Asian story and all-Asian cast can also tell a very universal story, can tell a story that can reach out to anyone, you know, then can touch the hearts of anybody regardless of race or language or whatever. And so I think that that's important, that somebody can identify with the story. Like, I have people writing to me and say, oh, you know, your auntie reminds me of a Bible, you know, my Bible-going auntie, you know, in somewhere else in the world. So I think that kind of association is important, and it will lend itself to more stories being told.
Yeah, absolutely. And going with this movie, I mean, so far it seems like such a success, and it just came out. And we know it's based on Kevin Kwan's trilogy book, and this is just the first one. Have you read the book, and what about the book? And if so, what about the book did you take away the most?
I guess because I am from Singapore, and I know some of these characters, or I know of them, the lifestyle, I know what schools they attend, you know, because of Kevin's own background. When I read it, it's really a page turner for me, and it's really like, oh my God, you know, I think this is who, and I think that's that uncle, and I think so. For me, it's really very personal, and I really enjoy, I mean, the all three books, but for me, my favorite in terms of who I'm playing now as well is book number 3. It's Rich People's Problems, and it's like when everything hits the fan, and it's like the matriarch of the family, my mom, passes on, and all the wolves just come out and like go like, okay, you know, so I'm going to look after the sale of the property, the main title property, which... It's really quite a fun read. So I really hope to make it to book number 3.
Ah, do you think that'll open up opportunities? If this current film of Crazy Rich Asians does so well, it opens up for the opportunity for sequels?
Oh, I hope so. I think we're all, you know, fingers crossed on that. And I think that's why the audience response, not just, I mean, in terms of box office, like I said, yes, but also in terms of how much they are willing to sort of rally the studio for it, or, you know, anyone else for it, the writers for it, the director, the producers. I'm hoping, and I think there is a chance that it will go all the way.
Well, one of the things I appreciate about this movie, just both from the press, but also the final product itself, there's movies that you watch and you can tell that there's passion behind it. Mm. Passion from the filmmakers, whether that be the director himself or the producers, but also the actors. Mm. And in fact, it was good to have that validation when you came in, because you said there was a great sense of camaraderie with the actors themselves. So can you sort of talk about that, and, you know, what fueled that and how that all came to be?
Yeah, I mean, I come from a stage background, essentially. So every time I go into production in a stage setting, there's always this feeling of a family, you know, because you're in there, there's productions for a while, and then you all get on. But when I came onto this film set, you know, from the word go, I mean, you could really sense that everybody's looking out for everybody. Everybody's kind of like in a family, and right down from the producers, you know, making sure that, you know, we have get-togethers, you know, when we came to Singapore, in Malaysia, our crew would make sure that we, you know, got the best Malaysian food. And I mean, you know, just that looking after each other, looking out for each other, and then, you know, making each other laugh and have a fun time on set as well as off. So we used to have a lot of gatherings outside, a lot of karaoke sessions, for a lot of eating sessions. And when we came to Singapore, we made sure that everybody really got a taste of Singapore life as well. So even till today, I like to say that we meet up in different parts of the world. And we came to LA, we would meet up again, and we have a WhatsApp group that never stops, day or night, because there are people in, you know, all parts of the world. So it's great because we keep each other updated, and it's called the Crazy House of Love. So yeah.
Oh, I love that. And yeah. I love the family aspect. I also have a background in stage theater as well. So I definitely know the family dynamic, because it brings the cast and production closer together, especially in, like, at the end, you're like, hey, we did something amazing together, like this film.
Exactly.
And I really like that you had it seemed like a positive environment. But the sets were also luxurious. I mean, this book, it really goes into detail, like, how luxurious every item or location is. What were the sets like when you were filming in Malaysia and Singapore? Were they as luxurious and grand as we saw on screen?
I think Nelson, our production director, did an amazing job, because, you know, he could, you know, in Malaysia and in Singapore, it's not as if we're used to such sort of big budget productions and the sets, you know. So he really had to use, like, two houses, you know, to make something, you know, look as if they were one. And he would buy the tiles, source for it, you know, sort of like countrywide, and then really put things together. So we were seeing things kind of like in pieces, but it looked amazing already, because the detailing was, like you said, you know, very amazing. Like, I mean, the tiger, and it's like we walked in and they were like, whoa, we're gonna be filming here today. But when I finally saw it in the movie, I was like, oh, he made it all one house. And yeah, and it was really magical how that came together, which is really a testament to his genius, as well as I know he had an army of you know, people sort of working together with him, and I mean, it's just amazing, beautiful. Yeah
they seem gorgeous, so, yeah. I mean, I would want to live on that set, just the set alone, let alone, you know, the real world of the rich Singapore culture. I mean, it was so beautiful, the way that it was shown.
Oh yeah, it was.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, the movie sets up very deliberately and very nicely this notion of multiple generations.
Yes.
And yet there's supposed to be this through line of certain rules, and yet everyone has their own perspective on the rules. Even your character, the fact that, you know, she looks back at Rachel at one point and says, you look gorgeous, or I forget the exact line, but, you know, so that...
And I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Even that was sort of, you know, in opposition of Nick's mother, you know, because it's kind of more whispered, like a wink of, you know, you're not supposed to be doing this, but you applaud her effort and you want her to be encouraged, essentially. Yeah. So I want to get that perspective of, you know, where everyone has these different viewpoints.
Well, I wonder a little bit about that. In a way, you know, sort of like the auntie characters, we're there to sort of like stir things up a little bit, and, you know, like, you know, make sure that, you know, the family, you know, everything, the family line is told. But any chance to kind of like, when Eleanor's back is turned, to sort of egg things on a little, because it's making her feel a little bit uncomfortable, you know, I'll have a little bit of fun with that, you know. So yeah, so it's in terms of the whole idea of family culture and the whole rules, I think it is still, as far as the older generation is concerned, the aunties are concerned, it's still very much, oh, you have to toe the line. It is family first. You know, forget about yourself, forget about your passion. But hey, you know, if it's me and my family, you know, I'll look after mine and my own. So that's pretty much the same. But the younger characters, I think, you know, even where is Picklin or Rachel, they do come in and they have a sense of, because they are educated overseas or of a much more modern generation, they do have a sense of like, no, I think I can stand up, or I will stand up for, you know. But you see that in one group, and you do see the other group, you know, with the Colin and Araminta's wedding, that they've had to embrace the family notion of, you know, we're marrying in amongst our own type. Michelle Yeoh has a great Hokkien line which says "Tati Lang," which means our own people, our own kind. So we're gonna keep it's kind of like royalty, you know. We're gonna marry amongst our royalty, yeah, basically.
Yeah. Now reading the book and watching the film and, you know, living it and going through the whole process, how would you say how accurate the Asian culture is represented in this story compared to what the people who grew up in Asia would know and compared to, like, Asian Americans who might not be as well versed in the Asian culture? How do you think it, like, really represents the culture, like, accurately?
It certainly represents one part of it because let's not forget we're talking about one crazy rich family, Chinese family at that. So in terms of what Michelle's character, Eleanor Young, and like I said, the auntie's generation, you definitely get a very accurate portrayal of that particular strata. Where, I mean, whether it's nowadays the modern rich Asian family, or let's say 100 years ago where you had the rich Chinese merchants, you know, that class of family who had just attained wealth and they want that to be kept within the family. And so, you know, those rules are, I think, quite standard. I mean, it's quite accurate, I think. Okay. But I think there are more relaxed standards nowadays, you know, because back home in Singapore, and I'm sure around the world, a lot more families are much more open to say, you know, their kids going out to explore, meeting up with other races, other people, and getting along and trying something new. I don't think families are that closed anymore.
Okay. So there's more acceptance of different types of cultures and races, because that is a running theme throughout the book and the movies, like Singapore Asians compared to Asian Americans, you know, that they are completely different people and mentalities. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to know the difference, if it was.
I certainly think that there is an openness nowadays. I mean, I personally don't feel there is very much difference between, even races or I think, as long as we're living in a modern city environment, we're all kind of growing up with the same kind of ideals and ideas or passions and pursuits that we want. So nowadays, I think the modern family, unless you're like royalty or like a, you know, super rich family that wants to keep everything together, or I don't think it's very much different.
Okay. Very neat.
Very interesting. You know, let's take a kind of quick step back as far as how did you become involved in the project?
I have no idea, but I am wearing blouse. I am wearing the blouse that I wore for the audition. So I had just finished a stage production, a really intense one. So I decided to leave the rest of my year free just to recover from that particular production, and my husband and I had planned a holiday overseas, and everything was kind of blank after that so that we could reassess things. And then suddenly I got a call, or the office got a call from the casting director saying, hey, would you like to come down and audition for this thing? It's a movie set in Singapore. And I was like, oh, a Hollywood movie set in Singapore. Now that sounds interesting. And they said, yeah, it's really simple. You know, it's just a couple of weeks, like to a month filming. And I was like, okay, but I'm booked for this holiday. So, you know, if you guys need to go on, then go on, because I can't really change this anymore. So they said, okay. And then I went off. I didn't think anything about it. I came back. They said, no, can you please, you know, come, because we haven't really finished casting. So I said, okay. Then I was like looking at myself going like, I was all burned from Phuket. And like, you know, I was like, okay, can you give me a day? Just let me get ready that day. So I spent the next day before the auditions becoming a real Tai Tai, you know, like a real auntie. Aww. I went for my hairdo. I did my nails. I did a little facial and makeup and everything. And then I turned up. And it was just John was not in town. So they took a little screen test and then we left it then. And then I think they called back about a week later saying, are you free next week to shoot in? And I was like, hey, okay, since my year happened to be open, because otherwise I would have been jumping onto another production. So I guess everything just fell into place, and here I am.
Yeah, I love the timing of opportunities and stuff. I know, like right? That's a fascinating story. So you said for filming, and you did play a fun, you know, somewhat comedic role. Yeah. How long did it take for you for filming?
Because I was also in the big scenes, right? And the big scenes took quite a while. There's so many elements in it. So I think all in all, I would say about a week and a half in KL, and then another 2 weeks in Singapore. About three and a half weeks thereabouts.
Okay.
Did you have a favorite set or favorite scene in particular?
I love the house. I mean, the Thai Sol house. The one that I said, you know, was in parts, and the one with the giant tiger in the hallway. The one, you know, where Pek Lin runs up the stairs. I love her shot there, taking the selfie there. So that's kind of like one of my favorite sets. Although I must say, the first day of filming, something went wrong with the air conditioning. So we had all these poor actors, you know, the extras, and they were all in like tuxes and suits and gowns and everything and wigs and everything, and we had zero air conditioning for that night shoot. It was, but everybody, they were all such troopers, you know. I mean, I think we had one guy faint or two guys faint, but you know, everybody like they were really up for it. And yeah, it doesn't look like we were dying in heat, right?
Oh, right. Not at all. You would never know.
Have guessed, yes.
So, and I like the different characters, your character and like the different families and slash friends and stuff. What character stands out to you the most, or do you relate to the most, besides, of course, your own?
Do I relate to? Let me think. I really like Eleanor's character. I think Michelle plays it really, really well. I can see so many of my aunties or like my friends' mothers in her. There's this sense of like that of an almost a desperate urgency for her family. You know, it's like, I need to protect my son. I need to protect his welfare and his inheritance and who he's going to be. I need to make sure I steer him in the right direction. And that she really plays that, I think, really well without being over the top about it. But you can see it. And when I watch her in her takes, right, on set, it's really amazing because to me it's like a masterclass. I'm just sitting there with all my theatre energy going like, oh, okay, so this is how it's done. And she's just calm, cool, but in her eyes and in her just a little movements, you really get that sense of like, I need to look after my son. Her one purpose is so, you know, present.
Well, to me, that's what makes the movie so brilliant, is that there's really no villain. It's just obstacles for the characters, and you know, the downside is that they're in opposition of each other, and no one's trying to do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So that's something that I really appreciated about it.
Yeah, it's true.
It's something fun for people wanting to visit Singapore. Do you have any recommendations?
Well, you know, people come to Singapore to see a lot of like the modern things, and you'll see. I mean, it's in the movie. You know, your Marina Bay Sands with the three tall towers and the Olympic sized pool like on top floating. Gardens by the Bay, where the big wedding banquet was held. The gardens in Singapore, I would really recommend them. We're really a city in a garden. There's just trees everywhere, but there are little spots, you know, where you can go to, where it's just like an old railway connector or whatever that's now fully like, you feel like you've got into an equatorial jungle. So that's really fun for me. And the botanic gardens, just those kinds of places, it really feels quite opulent in terms of a tropical island setting as well. I love the Chimes Hall, where the wedding ceremony was held, you know, where you played the song just now. So where that ceremony was held and the water was coming down. Of course,
it's gorgeous.
It doesn't really happen. The water doesn't happen all the time. That's Nelson magic. But, you know, that whole place used to be the convent of the Holy Infant Jesus. It's an old convent which is now turned into an eatery and a bars. And it's a really nice spot in Singapore. So yeah, those would be, and everybody's gonna try food at a hawker center. You know the scene where Nick goes around ordering food. Okay, so that's those are like staples. You have to go to like a hawker center to eat to your heart's content.
I think that was the only like as far as yesterday, because I went to see the movie late. That was the only downside. There was no restaurants open for me to eat any of the food, because it does make you hungry. That's the
it does. It made me hungry for home too.
Right, I love all those suggestions, and you have said previously that you actually enjoy being outside and doing a lot of outdoor type of activities.
Well, I mean, that makes me sound way too sporty. No? So, I mean, I love the gardens and all, especially now because I mean, my husband and I have a 3.5-year-old, so it, he's always I have to like walk him out like twice a day to make sure that he gets his run around. So the all the sort of garden spaces or the water park areas, I mean, those are all lifesavers for me.
Yeah, very neat, very neat. What I really enjoyed, you talked about the food and all that, because after Phil and I, we saw it once the first time, and immediately after, I was like, I'm hungry for some Chinese food. So I think it definitely represents, food, the culture in that sense, and in a very positive light.
Yeah, and also in the movie, I mean, you notice that Nick was ordering food in different dialects and languages, because what was being presented there was not just Chinese food. So there was Malay food, there was Indian food, there's a mix, straight food that's not traditional Chinese food as well. And that's the amazing thing about Singapore. It really has a mix of everything. Southeast Asian food, as well as, I mean, if you wanted good Western food, I mean, you'd get it there too. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Can you talk about the dialects? Because I know you've said that Singlish is not as prevalent in the movie.
Yes.
What is that for people who aren't aware? And,
Singlish is when I talk like that. And then I say, this movie maybe doesn't really represent us because, we all don't speak like we do in Singapore. Although, to say that is not really true, because not all Singaporeans speak like that. It's kind of like a comfort thing when Singaporeans get together, we kind of like turn it on and I mean, of course, they're in the hawker center, and amongst our family, we do have a lot of Singlish, come on la, don't be like that la, I mean, we do use this. Janice and I in particular, when we were talking about how the aunties would speak for the movie itself, we said, there would be certain Singlish words. We put in a hano, which means yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Or there's I think there's an alamak somewhere, which is like, oh my goodness. But we both agreed that, as members of the Yang family, we would have been educated in like the best mission schools in Singapore, and we would have gone over to the UK to get our university degrees or whatever, come back home, we would be speaking really with a more pronounced English accent. So that's kind of where we decided to go with it, just to keep the authenticity of this particular Yang family. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I find that interesting, because also in the book, which is mostly written in English, but every once in a while when you get the characters have their dialogue, you get one or two words that is in the native language and whatnot. Yeah. So I find that interesting that Singlish is a term where you kind of combine the two a little bit.
Well, Singlish is, yes, correct. So Singlish is like the slang, right? It's like the slang that we use in daily life. Then there are, because the Chinese dialects, there are quite a few. So there's Cantonese, there's Hokkien, and everybody speaks a little bit of something depending on what they are. Like, I'm Hainanese, although I don't speak much of that, but my mom's Hokkien, so I speak Hokkien. Yeah.
Okay.
So like the word katilang just now, I said is Hokkien, but with a little bit of Malay slant as well, because it's,
That's neat. Now, this cast has, it's an amazing cast of, all Asian cultures and whatnot. And, you mentioned Michelle Yeoh, who's been in so many amazing projects, and Constance Wu, yourself. I mean, what was it like to work with such a cast? Even Awkwafina, she's getting bigger in her career. What was it like working with such a well-diverse cast?
It was really fun. It was, actually our director just sort of said that, he feels like our summer camp has just gone viral. He wrote that one out. And it really does feel like it, because it, you know, now that he's mentioned it, it did feel like a summer camp, because we spent a summer together with people from all around the world, and we got to know everybody and you know, what they've been doing, what they're going to do, and, you know, what how they speak, different slangs, different ways of looking at things. And so it's been amazing. And what's really amazing is that everybody was really welcoming in terms of getting to know each other. So Awkwafina is just amazing. She's like the life of the party, right? I mean, it's like, she's like, yeah, okay, where's the party happening? So there's Awkwafina, there's Jimmy Ouyang, Nico Santos was great. I mean, because we bonded, I would bring him around to like all the Singapore places to eat and all that. And we had a lot of good food. We had like a major seafood session and stuff like that. Michelle was also great. I mean, you know, really on set and off, you know, really genuinely interested in sort of getting to know us and helping us. And yeah, so I would say for me, it's one of the richest experiences I've had in my career so far.
What is, you know, maybe like the one big takeaway from everyone? What would that be? Or because you mentioned even like it being almost like a master class in acting, like even from that perspective, what's the takeaway that you took?
I think the takeaway would have been like everybody's really honing their craft, or like really constantly working on improving their craft, and that they give it 100% when they're there, and then when they're off, they're also 100%, you know, out there wanting to know more about where they are, and they're very interested and interesting people, and that was what really made the whole experience great.
Yeah, that's neat. What I find somewhat sad, but it really interesting that, and especially for this movie, is that for the Hollywood industry, only 6% of the Asian culture is represented for lead roles. And this movie has an all Asian cast, which is the first time you've seen a film of all Asian cast in 25 years. Mm-hmm. So, what do you think this movie does to you know, really like go against the belief of there's not enough roles for Asians out there, and you being a working actor? So what do you think this movie will do for that perspective?
Well, I'm hoping that there will be a seismic shift. I mean, I'm hoping that there will be a shift, and that Hollywood and you know, I guess even big movie industries all around the world will begin to see it is possible to cast an all Asian. Well, maybe it doesn't need to be all Asian. Maybe it needs to be a little bit more than 6%, or a lot more than 6%. You know, somewhere, and that movies can exist in an Asian context. I mean, you know, like back home, we're the majority, so we have the privilege of being in the movies, being on film, being on stage. And I think if the world can you know, can tune into that and see, oh, you know, it is possible, there's no reason why our Asianness should be a barrier to entry, then maybe these decisions will change. These decision makers will sit up and take notice.
Yeah. I feel like there are some great roles for a lot of actors, male and female. And like just in this past year alone, there's been some standout performances from like Tomb Raider and obviously this film. But there are opportunities, and I think people just need to believe that you don't have to be a certain age or a certain type just to fill a role. Yeah. Because there's a lot of backlash when there are like miscasting of people who could be Asian represented in film.
Yeah, I think so. And I think this movie will help people to ease up a little and say, okay, you know, I think let's go with an Asian actor. Yeah.
Going off, you mentioned earlier that there's a universality to the movie. Mm. Can you pinpoint what that universality is for audiences? I mean, we kind of touched upon it as family being one of them, but if you can get just a little bit more specific.
I think the idea of, the rom-com part, you know, the whole idea of love, and if you really put your heart is really in it, you know, you will do everything you can to make it happen. I think that's quite universal too. And also, just I mean, you know, even the small things are universal, like the gossipy aunties or the aunties who will plot against you. I think that's universal as well. Also, like, you know, with the whole Araminta's bachelorette party ganging up against, you know, that's like sorority stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's like, you know, almost like college stuff or university, you know, back home, we call them like hostel stuff, you know, where you're, you know, where you're sort of picking on the one girl who's like new or like threatening, you know. So those kinds of things, I think, you know, anybody who sort of like lives in a city, like I said, you know, grown up in a city setting, you know, we understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, I want to give you an opportunity to kind of talk about yourself. You've not only done acting, but done a multitude of things, whether it be producing, directing, and so forth. Is there one aspect of it that you love more than another?
I love creating new work. I love just being in that creation process. So whether it's and that encompasses quite a few things. So producing, writing, and even either performing or directing, right? So for instance, like our production house, Dream Academy, we produce a lot of original content that's local, and we. I mean, I like being in that creation process. So, for instance, we have the Dim Sum Dollies, of which I'm one, which is why I'm at Big Dim Sum Dolly. And it's about, it's just these three girls or three ladies, and we are out there. We've got sequins. We've got, you know, it's a big cabaret act. But we, in that sort of fun and games and laughter, creating laughter, we actually do political satire. And unlike the U.S., you know, political satire is not like widely available, say on television, or you know, that we have quite a strong censorship in the country. But with the Dim Sum Dollies on stage, we are able through comedy to point out, you know, what's happening now, what the government's up to, what, you know, socially, politically, and all that. So for me, that's a very a project very close to my heart, and we keep it going because we keep wanting to push the envelope in terms of how much comedy we can get out there before they clamp us down, you know. So that's what we do. At the same time, we have other brands like Mina and Gina, which is really a race-centered duo, talking about what it means to be Chinese in our culture, what it means to be Malay, and all the different discrimination and prejudices that go along with that. So that's kind of what I do with the company. I'm its artistic director, and we just plot new ideas and new shows for our Singapore audiences, and hopefully one day bring them around the world. Yeah.
Excellent.
How often do you do shows? Like, what's the turnaround from your production year?
We do about three major productions a year. So once I open, I'm in pre-production for the next show, and then, you know, it's just a roller coaster ride. And this year, because I knew we were going to be doing this promoting Crazy Rich Asians, we actually cut down to two productions, just so we have the last part of the year free. We just finished another one of our series called Happy Ever Laughter, which is like 12 local Singaporean comedians just pitting each other's skills and fighting it out. It was called the battle and on stage. And in fact, Ko Cheng Man, who was also in this movie playing Aquafina's mom, she was in Stand Up Happy Ever Laughter with me just July. Yeah, we just finished in July.
There you go. Yeah. It's all relative. Yes. I enjoy that. I did watch a video of you and one of your friends, and you were singing on stage too.
Fran and Chaney, I think.
You were singing. Do you ever think of a musical career along with your acting?
I kind of started in musical. So, I mean, I do musicals as well. So, apart from this, we have our own musicals. Sometimes we've written our own original musicals. I love Stephen Sondheim, so I've done quite a lot of Stephen Sondheim. In fact, that's what I live to do. I just wait for the next Stephen Sondheim piece that I can be in. The clip that you mentioned was a very good friend of mine, Emma Yong, who's since passed away. But we put it out there. It was her solo concert, and she really wanted to do the song called Fran and Janie, which I love, and it's about two friends. Yeah, so that's nice.
Ah, that's great.
Very cool. Anything else while you have a captive audience that you'd like to share?
Come watch the movie, of course, and, you know, break all box office hits so we can make number two and number three. But also come to Singapore and come not just to see the sights that are in the movie, but come catch our thriving theatre scene as well as, you know, watch our local films and all. And then you'll get to feel a little bit more about all the different aspects of Singapore. We are not just one Chinese, one crazy Chinese family. We are multicultural, multiracial. And as much as you're talking about representation now and getting representation for Asians, I think back home, we're all working towards representation for everyone. And, you know, someday we'll make it happen.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, one of the things I do appreciate about this movie is the filmmakers, they've really put their money where their mouth is. I mean, they said they were lucky enough that they could be, you know, in turning down the Netflix deal. But they said, you know, the thing that we would do with the money is make a movie to put it into theaters. And so why would we go to Netflix to make the money then to put it into theaters when we could just put it into theaters? So really congratulations all around to you, the cast, the filmmakers, and nothing but the best of luck with these movies and then obviously future movies as well.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
And I'll see number two and three.
Yay.
Say that.
Absolutely. One more time, feel free to follow Selena at Big Dim Sum Dolly. That's a tongue twister at times.
At Big Dim Sum Dolly, that's it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And of course, you can follow Marissa at Serafini TV. I'm at Phil Svitek, and we are at Movie Anatomy with this show. We will be covering Crazy Rich Asians, the movie, in our regular dissection. This was just a fun bonus episode to warm you guys up to it. So go see it, then rejoin us for the full dissection.
And read the book, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you once again, and we'll see you next time for another Anatomy of Movie.
Thank you.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.